fucking canned water.
It's absolutely canned water.
How much is this?
I don't know. He just brought it home from Publix.
I gotta tell you. It's water. It's water in a can.
Oh, it's... the results are in, folks. It's water.
Liquid death.
We're talking about, of course, liquid death. I've seen it, like, on, like, some people on social media drink it, and I'm like...
Liquid death.
It is a cool can. Drinking water. It's from the...
Tell me this doesn't look like an old-school Miller Lite.
We are not sponsored by this. My brother just happened to buy it before... We recorded this. Did you read the synopsis on this?
Oh, I was trying to outside. I know it's fucking insane. It's just the way it starts.
Yeah, when a group of teenagers set off into the mountains for a weekend of drinking regular water. Of course. That's definitely what they went out there
in
to
plastic
go
bottles. They became hunted by an aluminum can of mountain water that was dead set on murdering their thirst and recycling their souls.
Oh, Jesus.
Once cracked open, no thirst is saved.
Help me,
from
liquid death. My soul is ready
after
for
recycling. After naturally dismembering its thirst victims, this brutal can of water uses the severed body parts of dead thirst to build itself a flesh suit, which it used as a disguise to get a job in marketing. But Liquid Death never took the job. It just murdered a bunch of more thirst instead.
I got nothing from that.
That is what is printed on that fucking can.
Now I'm just thinking about a flesh suit, and it's gross.
I can't believe... You can barely read this, too,
murder
because...
Murder your thirst.
You can barely read that story because the can's white and the lettering's fucking silver.
Did they make a Liquid Death with lemon?
Now we're going somewhere. Now we're getting at something.
I should be in their marketing department.
Just
try it. I guarantee you. So,
like Jacob kept saying,
what do people want in water?
When we were asking him, he's like, "What is it?" And he's just like, "It's water." And I'm like, "Oh, he's joking. It's like some really hard,
like
booze
vodka
or something."
Seltzer or something.
No, it's fucking water.
It's. You drink it, you're like, yeah, that's... It has a taste. It almost, to be honest...
It tastes like water in a can.
Yeah,
because that's exactly what
like,
it is.
It tastes like hose water.
It's exactly...
I'm like, to be honest, this... it tastes like they touched metal. Yeah. Which, yeah, that's what hose metal would taste like. I remember, like...
Yeah.
In the yard, and you just drink from it, and it had this... You drink it, but it had this weird, just like,
Yeah, like well water.
Like, I shouldn't drink a lot of this, but...
Yeah. It's all very high in minerals.
I was like, dude, in Georgia, there was trees with stuff called crab apples.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, my parents would be like, don't eat too many of those. You'll fuck your stomach up.
Yeah, I've heard of those.
But they were so tart and yummy, I would just go ham on them. Like, I can just eat these? What the fuck?
Yeah, like, nectar of the gods, like, at your fingertips.
Yeah, I've always been a sucker for fruit. Oh my god, dude. So, alright. So, we've watched... We can start with the movie that we both watched. Because I can
okay. So, it took me like 2 weeks to finally watch this fucking movie. Because I was about to right when it dropped. And then I saw that fucking 2 hour and 20 minute runtime. And I was
and you're like,
like,
what? Oh,
I'm
dude.
Like, I don't know if I can... I don't know. I'm just like... I started questioning things. I was just like...
I questioned everything.
I was just like, oh my god, this is like...
Is this my life?
Like, I'm just... All I'm doing is watching dumb movies and then sitting down and talking about them. And I'm sitting here getting stressed out because it's like, what is this doing to my mind? Like, I started thinking, like, what if I just... The only input I have is just trash.
Yeah,
it's like, will I know all the things to avoid in any creative process from seeing so much shit? Or will I just produce the shit? Like, shit in, shit out.
I'll become a master craftsman of shit.
But, okay, so we both watched The Tomorrow War, the Chris Pratt action. We both watched Edge of Tomorrow, I mean. No, The Tomorrow War. Yeah.
Yep.
But it was basically...
My brother was like, dude, that fucking Starts Hard With That title is so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what is a 10 times better title? The War for Tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you just flipped it, that was... Well,
yeah. You know that the Edge of Tomorrow, the Tom Cruise one, that the Tomorrow War seems very inspired by.
Oh, absolutely.
It just didn't handle the time concepts cool.
Yeah, it just wasn't as good of a movie.
Yeah, but Edge of Tomorrow, so that was made from a manga called All You Need Is Kill, and that's what was the name of the movie was going to be, and they were like, I don't think American audiences will go for that, so they changed it.
All You Need Is Kill.
Because I think a saying in the book, because you know how they like to just get out, they're like, all right, let's just restart. They just kill each other in Edge of Tomorrow. You know, she comes up and just shoots Tom Cruise, so he'll restart.
Yeah.
Because I think in the manga it was like, no, just all you need is kill, and then that's what they would say when they would just kill each other to restart the time loop. But then they changed the name to Edge of Tomorrow, and then when it got its like home video release and streaming and like digital release, they fucking changed the name again to Live, Die, Repeat.
Yeah.
This fucking movie had three different names in different stages. Like, they just couldn't.
I can't decide.
Even when it's like, it's already done, box office is over, it's out of theaters, we're shipping out the final product just to have. And they're just like, you know what? We just got to change the title one more time.
We can't.
It's just not quite there.
Not hitting it. It's not just.
But with the Tomorrow War, it was their first fucking thought, and they just went with that.
Yeah, like, done.
Yeah.
Movie writes itself. Dude, the pacing of that movie was so weird.
Yeah, and...
I didn't know what emotions I was supposed to be feeling. Am I supposed to give a fuck about this future daughter?
I had the same fucking thought of that. Oh, hang on, bro. At the very beginning, when the kids talk, and when he's Chris Pratt's teaching the kids in the classroom, mm-hmm. and then he wants to see if anyone has a question, and he raises his hand, and he's like, "All right, you can ask a question as long as it's not about volcanoes." You remember that part at the beginning? Like right there, I went, "Okay, volcanoes is going to be how they save the day at the end of the movie."
Someone who knows about volcanoes.
And of course that would be a 14-year-old kid in high school. He is the world's preeminent scholar on volcanic activity and pyroclastic flow. Because that's when they find the soot under the alien nails.
Yeah, he's like, he had the answers for everything.
Oh my god.
Just fucking, like, you know how much pussy that fucking kid got? They were ragging on him so hard for knowing all this shit about volcanoes.
And then he saves the fucking world by figuring out this one intricate part of the puzzle.
Oh my god, he just saved the world. He's on like Neil deGrasse Tyson levels. Like, he's just up there. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh my god. that movie had so many stages. It was just like... One, it was hilarious that they just enter in during the World Cup.
Yeah, which I have to say is actually a smart tactic, because it's like, if you're in the future,
everyone's watching.
Yeah, you're in the future, and like, let's go back to where we get maximum exposure. It would be World Cup finals,
because a lot of the planets
and
watching.
They just, yeah, but what if they just teleported in and just like teleported inside of another person, like into a player, and then he just explodes? Like, imagine that going. I also have a feeling that when that happened, they would like just immediately would have been shot at. Nobody was just gonna sit around and see. It wasn't like, oh, it's the halftime show, yeah.
Did you see that weird stuff they established where, like, they sent back people who were young enough to where they couldn't have been born, they're not born yet?
Yeah, okay.
But at the same time, it's like, well, they will eventually, so do they have to kill themselves before
birthday? Hang on, run that by me again.
So like,
heard them say this in the movie, and I was kind of going in and out watching it.
Because it works both ways. So the people they send for, so the whole plot of the movie, for people who are going to spoil this whole fucking thing, the whole plot of the movie is that they're fighting, if you haven't seen the trailers, an alien war in like 30 years in the future.
Yeah.
So they're running out of people, so they're getting recruits from people in a previous, like, 30 years in the past. So that's why they're just coming to what them seems like the present, but they're from 30 years in the future. Like, yo, shit's fucked up. Aliens. And then, so...
Greatest halftime show ever.
Yep.
In the World Cup.
Yep. Fucking brilliant.
Just Terminator in real life.
So they start a draft eventually. So they're just constructing.
And also it's a pretty the idea of a draft I guess is already inherently kind of fascist. But yes. Like they were uber fascist. It was like, "No, you're going to fucking come. We're going to test your shit. See when you die, not tell you." And then we're strapping you in and sending you fucking to fight in a future war. You have nothing.
So yeah, there's a condition in the draft to where they plug you into this machine real quick and they make sure that you're dead before like to where they're sending you, you're already dead.
So
there's not two of you existing at the same time.
So they don't create a time paradox or some shit. Do that, and they just sent people through to where there'd be two of them, then you would just like be doubling your armies, like your military force, every time you send one person back and you have two out there.
So, and it works both ways in the way that the people that they've sent back to tell, like, to basically warn them of this threat and to start this whole fucking draft thing. And, like, to help with the alien menace. Like, all the people sent back are really young.
Yeah.
So, all the people sent back haven't been born yet, so they can't exist at the same time.
Yeah.
So, that being said, does that mean they have to kill themselves by their birthday? Like, because if they can't exist, like, once they're born, they can't exist.
But they were supposed to... But they would jump...
But they destroyed the time machine.
Oh, yeah. So if... Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're all fucked.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't think about that part. Yeah, I was like... Because I knew I was like, well, if they jump back, they would just... Once they win the war, they'll just jump back into the future. But, yeah, since it got destroyed... I didn't...
And the future of theirs wouldn't be the same, so... There'd probably be a different then. So no matter what, there's double. They're just fucked. No, it's six ways to Sunday.
Yeah.
Their only choice is to go further back.
Yeah. I didn't really understand, like...
Check out the 50s. I don't know.
Yeah. But you know what? It was like... wasn't it like part of the movie they were like... Like the apocalyptic event, like it moved back some? Didn't that happen? Like they were getting readings or something where... Like the end of the world happened a little later or was moving forward. They could like detect that somehow. But I was also thinking like how the fuck did they, how can they know if they're from the future trying to stop the apocalypse? How did they know the apocalypse happened? Because they're not coming from a future further past the end of the world. But they know that the world ends. Like, all the future... When Chris Pratt goes in there, all of the characters who are, like, already in the military, who have been fighting the war, they all know when it's going to happen.
Yeah.
How do they remember
when it happened.
But, like, how can they remember it if it hasn't happened yet? Because they would have been dead afterwards.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit in that fucking movie.
Like, they're in the war now, and they're just saying, yeah, they know, like, fatalistically when they die. Like, I don't...
No, yeah, it's all that shit.
Because I was sitting there, like, the whole time, like, did I miss something? I don't get that. That doesn't make any
also,
fucking sense.
Also, what fucking malfunction happened where we teleported our entire platoon, like, 30,000 feet?
Air. With that first one.
Thank God there's a swimming pool on the top of this building.
We're all just splattering.
And I'm just, like... Happened to be in the exact place in space to fall into it, like just Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this fascist future military is just blindly throwing these people back and like just getting them all fucking killed before they even go into battle.
You just come out, you're like.
Also, how fucking desperate are we in the future that we're running out of soldiers to fight? So we're just fucking drafting anyone in the past, even if you know how to use a. Gun or seen combat, we won't train you in that because we don't have the time for that shit. And then we'll just throw you into the future to fight these fucking alien monstrosities. Like, how desperate are we that all they need to win the war is more guys with guns? Yeah, like, that's it. That's their ultimate... They just... All it is people with the shirt on their backs going in. It was almost like... You know what? It was like the movie didn't want to spend a budget on, like, any, like, on scenes like that and shit. So they just fucking, like... They just made all the actors just wear, like, their day clothes.
Yeah. Dude, and talk about how many of those fucking, like, weird tail spike things that those things could shoot out, did those people just run and die? Like, so many were just flying by them.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. It was, you know what, it's like, watching that movie, it's like, if this was a Sci-Fi Channel original, I would have been like, damn, that was, like, that was actually impressive. I can't believe they did all that with, you know, the budget they usually have, but just knowing that this came from, like, a powerhouse like Amazon, it's like, yeah, this is, like, fucking embarrassing. And even the scope of it, it's like, when I watch, like, Edge of Tomorrow or something, it feels like there is a world war, like, this is happening all over the fucking planet, this giant war with these aliens. Mm-hmm. And this movie, it's just, like, the same 20 people in all the scenes. Like, that's, the camera is only focused on, like, just like a handful of people, like the whole fucking movie. A lot like how, did you ever see Battle LA?
No, I didn't. That
other alien one? That was another movie where I don't know where their budget went, because they barely show you the aliens. They just show them, like, at a distance, so the CGI is, like, minimal, and it's just like, there's no scope to it at all. It's just the cameras, it's so tight in, because, like, their budget is so constrained. So they just don't. It's like you want to make this movie about a giant ass end all war, and you just already don't have enough money to do it. So, like, why even fucking? You can't capture that feeling.
And that's going to fail.
Yeah, that's exactly what this fucking movie did. It's just like the same fucking group of people going around. And it was like a hodgepodge. It was just a fusion of all, like recent sci-fi tropes and cliches and shit, like all the shots and everything. It's like they just took a little piece of like a dozen sci-fi movies and, like, threw it and just put it in a blender.
And then they're just like, they find and they get in there. I figured it was gonna be a nest. Or like they were primordial, yeah, ice age creatures.
Yeah, and then got
frozen, but no. They're like
feral alien design. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're just like, who's driving the craft? Don't worry about it. These monsters, though, we got to get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, who's flying the ship?
Yeah. Is it really one of these fucking freaks? I was thinking about that when they went in, and it was like that whole part was like Prometheus and Alien. Like, just the visuals and everything, mm-hmm, of it.
No, for sure.
Yeah, just the whole fucking movie. It's like the whole movie is Edge of Tomorrow meets Aliens meets Starship Troopers, because it's like a fascist future military group that's fighting these, like, you know, like inhuman freaks. Yeah.
Yeah, those things.
It felt like a weird
design for a creature.
Yeah, really. And it was like, that's it. You know, the movie's, like, really not compelling. It's just like when an entire action film is, it's just, we're just up against, like, a faceless enemy, just fucking savage monsters. That's it. It's like, it's not fucking compelling at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you just rely on all the other characters getting into arguments and having, like, heart to heart moments, like how this movie does. Which it did in a very weird way, because there was a handful of heart-to-heart moments that were, like, just in the middle of, like, these alien things are all around them just thrashing people into pieces and shit.
Yeah, you're just like, what is going on? Yeah. And then you're like, should I even give a shit? Because this timeline isn't even going to happen anymore?
Yeah.
Because I know where this movie's going to go. It's not like they're not going to... It's not like the monsters are going to win. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great. It's just how cliche they made, like, the military and government seem like he tries to get, like, the guy, like, Secretary of Defense or whatever, to go to Russia to finish off the aliens, and he's just like, oh, can you imagine trying to spend taxpayer dollars on that kind of shit now? No, and it's like, to save the fucking world, we just need a flight. So it's like, listen, we know what we're doing, okay? I'm not going to Russia on proof, okay? You're going to need a little more than proof.
All right,
and a surefire plan to stop aliens to get me to fucking do this.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you know, this also felt like a movie that that was shot during a global pandemic, because of how, when you really think about it, there's really not much, the principal photography.
I mean, it's all green screen.
Yeah, it's all green screen. There's
on set,
only a handful.
On location anywhere but a fucking soundstage.
Yeah, the whole fucking movie. Oh my god. Yeah.
I don't know how he didn't just how his character wouldn't just shit his pants like, oh well, I'm gonna die.
And I thought like when they,
I'm 30,000 feet in the air.
When they gather up all the recruits to send them through the jump into the future, and they tell them like, you're not gonna receive any basic training, no push-ups or anything. It's like, so they're just knowingly, they're just throwing like meat sacks at the aliens, just hoping like we'll just throw enough just bodies at them.
For what? Odd.
And there's no effect. The plan. There's no effective strategy or anything. Just like they're just recruiting people. Yeah, like you just said, they just to stall them while they were making like the fucking anti thing or whatever.
What's
the venom?
What's
But I thought what she was saying, that they were gonna get like power armor suits or some shit, and it was like, wait, that would be like Edge of Tomorrow. That's
we
exactly
got time
what
travel,
movie...
but we don't got this shit.
Yeah, we can invent time travel, but we have no like we like just don't you have just like some like big ass laser gun like did you...
something.
Like to shoot these fucking things.
What about some kind of biological EMP or something? Like,
yeah. God, man, a fucking movie.
No, yeah, and then it just ends with he ends up finding where they spawn from and causes it the whole thing to never happen. With his dad, J.K. Simmons,
yeah, who was just
I thought it was gonna go like he was gonna be in the future and his dad was gonna show up like he joined like the next wave or something to come in, and it was like, I don't know, that's why I saw it go, but no, they just like, you gotta help me kill him, Dad.
So, yeah, it was really convenient that his dad was like,
we gotta go against the government.
Was in the military, then went paramilitary.
I want to need pictures of Spider-Man.
And he just has access to like all this fucking. All these vehicles and fucking plane,
he's
like
got a lot of money.
And he's like the only guy that can like hack in onto the bracelet that they put on Chris Pratt. So he,
yeah, they basically put you on house arrest when you're drafted because you're like, if you fucking go anywhere, we'll find your ass.
Yeah.
Plus, this is how you time travel into the future. What if he was just fucking with it and he just started time traveling? Just what?
Yeah, he knocked it out of sync with the other people.
But I guess you'd have to go to a time that has one of those batteries, so if you went back in time with it, you'd just be stuck there.
Yeah.
Unless you can invent a battery. Yeah, you know, just blow their fucking minds.
Yeah.
You go to Tesla, like, yo, I heard about your legend in the future. I need your help with something. He's like, have you seen my pigeon?
That's like a, they did find a, they found a fucking,
I love it.
They found like a fucking battery from like the early ADs in Baghdad, I think, or something in the
Wild.
Middle East. Yeah, like fucking, like way before batteries were even a concept, somebody had fucking like accidentally created a battery, just like an energy holding device. Because I don't even know. I can't remember
like,
how it actually works. But it was technically a battery.
His name was Merlin.
Yeah. Oh, have you seen the Fear Street movies yet?
Fear Street?
Yeah, the R.L. Stine, like, more mature Goosebumps. They turn them into three movies that are on Netflix now.
No.
Well, the first two dropped. I think the third one... Yeah, the third one drops today, but it's like... the three movies. The first one's set in 1994, then there's 1978, and then this next one's 1666, but it's about, like, this town Shadyville, and then there's Sunnyvale or whatever, and there's like witch curse, and he jumps through time and you see how it like all unfolds and shit. It's basically Goosebumps with sex, like with teenage shenanigans, like arguing.
You get to see the kids,
but it's like good. It's like self-aware. It's kind of like Scream is what it feels like.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, definitely I'll check those. Yeah, no, the movie I watched the other night was The Hunt.
Which one was that?
That one was the one that was like really controversial. It was about
Dude, I saw that. I was trying. You saw it too? Yeah, I was trying to remember. I was like, I couldn't remember what was the other movie I watched. Yeah, dude, that was fucking interesting.
I didn't expect the elite to be super woke.
Yeah,
they're all like, and then like everyone they abduct is like a fucking Alex. One's like Alex Jones, basically.
Yeah, and then the main character's just kind of. She's just kind of, yeah, like neutral.
Yeah, why did they just cause, just, yeah, like she, all of them seem to have a reason, like they posted something or.
Yeah, it's like the ultra, like the far like left liberals that will just like dig through anything on social media to find one granular of insensitivity or something to just fucking destroy someone's career. Well, we're that's who they, that's who all these people were.
Yep, we're abducting them and we're gonna hunt them.
God, that movie was fucking crazy though. Like how many twists and turns it had.
Dude, that girl, that lady just fucks everyone up.
Yeah. It was very, yeah, she was like the last person they wish they had done that.
Yeah, like, we got the wrong. She just fucked up those old people, no question.
Yeah, and they killed. It was crazy how they killed off, like, all the recognizable faces.
I know.
Immediately in the movie, like, what's Emma Roberts? She's killed off, and I think she has, like, less than, like, 2 minutes of screen time.
I like that lady that was, like, fell into the spike pit. She was just like, I'm gonna eat a whole pie.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's just get you out of there. And then, like, the fucking mine blows up.
Yeah.
And she's just back in the hole.
Yeah. It was the same scene twice. Like, it was just the same, like...
But this time she didn't have legs.
That guy blew up, and then she lost her legs, and then another guy just fucking shows up.
Just let me get you out of there. Just give me your gun. Give it to me, you fucking snowflake.
Yeah, dude, as soon as they went into that gas station, I knew that those people were
gonna, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like, it was like...
I would assume everything in a
wheel. Yeah, like you're telling me you... mile, yeah, you jump one... Those fucking idiots. It's like, yeah, you jumped one fence in this, like, death game enclosure, and you think, like, yeah, there's just a gas station along the road that hasn't noticed this shit before. Yeah, fucking, that was, I don't see what the, I don't see, like, why it was controversial, though, because it didn't really pick sides.
I know.
It was just, it was absurd on both sides.
Yeah,
it made the, it just took,
the
like,
extreme of both.
Yeah, the extreme ends of both political spectrum, and just, like, what happens if those people just start trying to kill each other?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that was supposed to come out like over a year ago, and I think they did reshoots, or they at least delayed the release because of the political climate at the time. But it was like, I think that would have been the perfect thing to release.
Yeah, it's absolutely satirical.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pick a side.
Yeah, it's just making fun of everyone.
Mm-hmm. And then there's just the neutral girl who's just a badass who was, like, a vet.
Yeah.
Who just knows how to handle all firearms and is, like, just sees through all the booby traps.
Yeah. God. Oh my gosh, that was a fucking crazy movie.
No, wasn't that Hilary Swank in it?
Or? Yeah, Hilary Swank's the main villain at the end.
Yeah.
She's that old uber elite.
You don't see her face through a lot of it. Like, you just kind of like... like, the beginning, you just see the back of her head.
Yeah.
And then you just hear on the phone when she talks to the blonde lady.
Yeah. But that was a fucking nuts movie. Also kind of nuts, it was the when I saw Zola. That was the first movie I saw in theaters since before Corona. So that was a fucking long-ass time coming.
Right.
Like, I couldn't believe how long it had actually been. I can't even remember exactly what the last movie I saw was in theaters before. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But Zola was shot in our very own Tampa. It's like this girl, it first takes place in I hope I'm remembering it right. I thought it was Alabama. No, it was like Georgia. But it's like this girl who's like working at this diner, has this other girl coming who's a customer.
Heard you see soft cock and titties in it.
Yeah. There's like a montage of dicks, like up close in your fucking face, and I'm just like, I mean, I've seen plenty of dicks, whatever. It's going through a few dicks, you know, some impressive, some not. And then it just gets to this one where it is the size of this, like, it was like an uncircumcised dick the size of my microphone, but hanging to the side. Like, it was like, it was like a pendulum that stopped mid, and everyone in the theater was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, what's wrong with that guy's dick? Like, everyone was like, what is that? Like, dude, what is that? Is that, like, can that happen to me?
Like, did the director not know that would be very distracting?
Yeah. I'm like, I seriously think, like, something was not right with this guy's dick. But, yeah, that happens later in the movie, but the main character, she gets befriended by this girl that comes into her diner, and then they talk for a little bit and realize they're both like dancers, and then they hang out or something, and then by the way, like this movie is based on actual events, and it was like in 2015. This girl Zola, I don't know her last name,
Zola.
But she posted 148 within in the spanning 148 tweets on Twitter. She recounted this story, and the story overall is how she went with this girl to hang out, and then they both realize that they're strippers or dancers. And this new girl tells her like she can that if she comes to Tampa with her, she can make $5,000 in a weekend and come back home and, you know, be $5,000 better off.
Yeah.
Just after a weekend of dancing. And I'm like, I don't know why you don't have, like, I don't know why Tampa's the spot.
But, I know, you so know,
it seems like, yeah. But she does that, what's actually happening is that the girl is being trafficked.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so her friend has you can see it kind of unraveling, and she doesn't realize what it is, but this guy, who's the friend's like pimp, he loads them all up in like his fucking like Bronco or some shit, and they drive down to Florida, and they
ready to do porn.
Yeah, and you can see that. I saw them. You can see them driving down Nebraska, of course. Classic. You know?
Yeah. That's right. Hey, I know that.
They stay in a hotel. It's like right by. It's like the neighborhood I lived in before where I did now. So they're like driving by a lot of places I recognize. And you see them like Nebraska going by Hannah and Seminole Heights.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Seminole Heights area. But. Yeah, it's definitely I would say it is a little hype little bit of a hyperbole of Tampa. It kind of like elevates the ratchetness of Tampa.
Yeah,
it makes it seem like it seem like this wild, crazy city. Which I mean, it is, but it's like really every city is. There's crazy shit going on. But Tampa is a weird fucking place though. But yeah, this all really happened in like 2015, and she was trafficked, and she ends. I don't know if this is actually true, but this all happened in like 2015 also, and the pimp that did this was like been locked up and shit now for doing this. But she refuses to sleep with any of these men that come in. So the girl she knows, the friend of hers she met, is just like is just sleeping with all of these dudes. Well, like what happens is like her pimp just has her like meeting guys one at a time, going driving here and there and having them come to one place, and he's just lowballing himself so fucking bad. And the Zola character just turns out she's a natural born pimp. She knew like the right price range. It's like, I know the clientele we need to get in here to make some dollars. All right. She does so well at the pit that the pimp is just like, shit, here you go. And like throws like $500 at her. And he's like, you earned it. Do my job better than me. But yeah, they just partner up, and she's like, she's pissed off at that girl who's basically, trafficked her. And, but she doesn't have to sleep with any guys, and nothing really bad happens to her. And I guess she did get out of it with some money, but it's a kind of bizarre movie, because it's one of those ones where these are like, aside from Zola, it's like, these are very nefarious people, or, you know, girls that are like the victims of it. Like, this isn't a good time that they're having, but it makes it to where like, there's a moment in it that it's always interesting to see a movie that can make you like just terrible people. You can enjoy seeing them on the screen, because that's what they do with like the pimp in because they come down to Tampa, and the Zola's friend brings her boyfriend, who's just really like, they need like another set of hands, so they let him think that he's in a relationship with her. And whenever she goes to like sleep with guys, like, babe, you promised you were gonna keep doing this. He's just getting cucked like week on every, like every other weekend or some shit.
Baby.
He's true, and he's just so desperate for her and whip that he's just like, it's like, dude, just why are you with this girl? But what happens is that dumbass, he runs his mouth to somebody staying in their same motel, and then that guy kind of orchestrates it to where he has Zola and the friend of hers, I can't fucking remember what the other girl's name is, but he basically tricks them to come to his place, and then he takes them fucking hostage and shit. So the pimp goes in there, like gets his like nickel plated gun and like runs up in there and fucking handles that shit. It's fucking crazy. They drive over the Skyway at one point, but it's a fucking crazy movie. But you kind of like, it's so weird to see that in movies where you have like these like kind of despicable characters that you just can't help but like, because there's a moment, because even though the guy's a piece of shit, he does save the girl. He doesn't just fucking leave her there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He goes and saves like saves one of his girls, but yeah, he still did like, he still got some like serious prison time. Yeah, yeah.
He's still,
I don't know if he's
pimp.
Pimping in there or what. Oh yeah, there's a weird moment. He sounds like a typical like black guy from Georgia the whole movie, and then Zola does something to piss him off, and he's like, "Ah, you!" Like, just starts talking and fucking like. Clearly, he's from somewhere in Africa, he just starts speaking to them in like this, in this insane accent, and she's like, "Where the fuck are you from?" And you never find out where he's from. But it's weird. He like goes. So the whole time, I don't know if this was in real life, but like, so this guy just goes around and just does an American accent, even in private, like the whole time. What? Why would he? I get doing it for anonymity, like if you're out.
That'd be such a great prank.
But he stays in character. It's like he's the Daniel Day-Lewis of pimps. He just stays in character the whole time. Why the fuck is he doing that? I really hope that's true, that he did do that, though.
Dude, that'd be such a funny put to pull. Like, you get scared and you just pull out, like, a German or, like, a Russian accent, and they're just like, yeah, what was that? Like, nothing. You scared me. Like, no, your voice, you sounded like Russian or something.
Yeah,
like,
no, you know, no, what, now, you know what would be cool? Is you have, like, your friends, like, come over or something, like, at a party or something. You go outside to be on your phone. And when one of them comes out, you like start doing like a deep Russian accent, and then you see them come out, and you're like, "Oh, hey, what's up?"
It's like it's the fucking Americans.
Yeah. That would freak. That would really freak somebody out.
Oh, hi, neighbor. Yeah. Oh, hey, how you doing? Just Flanders it. Howdy diddly, neighbor. I'm wearing like an I Love New York shirt or something.
Yeah, it's so painfully obvious. Trying to pretend to be
I got like American flag pants.
Yeah.
It's like, well, howdy do, neighbor. Isn't it beautiful today? Just, yeah, that. So, yeah, I watched The Hunt, The Tomorrow War. There was something else.
I know, dude. I know there's something else I watched.
There was something fucking else that I watched.
Was it scary?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. I remember I watched The Nun, but I don't know if I don't think that was recent.
Yeah, The Nun was just like not good. I don't know. What did you think of it? It was like there was no anticipation of anything. They didn't stretch they just immediately open with like
The Nun did a lot. I mean, she transported a guy underground, buried. It was like, whoa, okay. Ghosts can do a lot now. This is a problem.
Yeah, and when he goes through the church and he sees like the mother of the nuns, like sitting in that fucking throne, shit, and it's like it's like the night mother talking, and you can't see her, and I'm like, can this dumbass not tell that that's like clearly an evil presence? Like, yeah. It's just blackness.
Something strange is going on.
It's just this dark presence in the room talking to you through a veil. It's like you can't fucking tell that that's not human, dude.
Just something's up with the sisters.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like it tried to be scary. Like it was like every 5 minutes, it was trying to pull some scare. And it's like if you just make the whole movie scary, it's not scary. Like there's got to be downtime in between it and shit.
Yeah, no, it was just like at no point are you safe from the nun. You could just wake up in a coffin 7 feet underground. Who knows? Luckily, people back in time, back a long time ago, used to bury people alive. So they fashioned a bell system in case they accidentally buried alive people.
Yeah.
And that's the only one thing that saved him. Just ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. They thought there would be a, they thought that after the getting the play, you could reanimate also. But you know what's crazy of, because that's what they call that's where Dead Ringer came from. That saying,
Dead Ringer?
It's a dead ringer. Like a false positive is that they would hear those bells go and then they dig the person up and they were fucking dead and like god damn it, so it would just move because of wind or something. But there was never a bell. One of the I can't remember what the system is called, but there's a guy who invented that. It's named after him, the bell system. but there was never a single fucking bell that went off over those graves where they dug them up and the person was alive. It never happened.
Oh jeez.
So every bell that ever went off on one of those graves and they dug them up, they were all dead ringers. Yeah. But there's the Huguenot Cemetery in St. Augustine. They used those in their graves too. There's like they have a huge cemetery of like unnamed tombstones and shit.
Like bells on them.
Well, they're not there anymore, but the circular
indentation of where a bell would be.
Yeah. 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 Right along the Matanzas River in St. Augustine, which Matanzas is Spanish for massacre, by the way. That river is called the Massacre River because of the French and the Spanish battling over it. Like, it turned fucking red because there was so much blood in it, apparently.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Speaking of blood, I watched, now I remember, I watched Nobody.
Oh,
with Sir Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
That was actually very enjoyable.
It looked like it.
It pulled like the kind of like John Wick, where it's like, we don't really need to focus on the story too much. Just create an interesting kind of world and just fill it with really good choreographed action. And that was what this movie was like.
Yeah.
It really just got to it pretty quickly.
Mm.
Yeah, literally it's just like, he's just like, it's like showing that his routine is the same. He fucking wakes up, makes coffee, goes to work. Or he makes breakfast, his wife tells him he forgot to take out the garbage. And then he goes to work. That pretty much happens every day. And then just eventually, like, these people break into his house. You see him, he grabs like his gun, and then he grabs a golf club, and then like you see him, he looks at him, and then he just kind of like looks like he's gonna go swing him, and then he stops, and then he kind of just like gets their attention. He gets hit by the gun and he lets him leave. And then like that's when like his son kind of like loses respect for him.
That was in the trailer.
Yeah, and then the cop's like, yeah, I would have fucking just... Yeah, that's what everyone's telling him. But then he calls, like, someone, and then basically he's like, yeah, I was able to see, basically, the gun wasn't loaded.
Oh, shit.
Like, he could see into the chamber and see that the gun was... He saw what kind of gun it was, and, like, he knew all about all that shit, and he was just like... But then,
is he like ex special forces or something?
He's something called an auditor. I don't know if it was for the mafia. He's just like a cleaner.
Yeah. Okay.
Like literally, they just send him in to just fucking kill everyone in there. Like he works for CIA, FBI, all that shit.
So he's just become an asset. He's become like a pacifist now, and he wants to.
Yeah, he's like, I just wanted a chance to live a normal life, and he kind of did. And now that he was like, all these people just like, man, can't believe you just did nothing. And he's like, oh, motherfucker.
It kind of starts kinda
welling on him.
It kind of starts like the opposite of a history of violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of doing a brave act and then it's revealed you're like a fucking super assassin. he like acts like a coward. Well, not really a coward. I don't know.
just like
did the sensible thing.
Like, I don't like conflict, even though I've killed a lot of people. But, no, like, he gets on a bus. Well, first he goes after the people that robbed him because they took his daughter's kitty cat bracelet. It turned out it was just, like, under his sofa. But, like, she was like, I think they took my kitty cat bracelet. And then, like, he goes and breaks in and, like, fucking puts a gun to their head and shit. He's like, you know who the fuck I am? And then, like, where's the kitty cat fucking bracelet? And then he leaves, he punches a wall, and he's, like, all mad, and then he gets on a bus, and there's, like, a bunch of assholes, and then he just, like, gets in a bus with them, the fight is, like, dope.
Yeah, I didn't realize, like, the plot was that absurd.
Yeah, and then it just like it just turns out one of the kids that he killed
on
the bus was like just like a Russian mob boss's son or something like that.
Oh shit. Damn.
So then it just starts this chain of events of people trying
even
to kill
him. Russian, even Russians. It's so John Wick.
Yeah, it's just like
all these movies are making fucking Russians the enemies and shit.
Yep, his dad's just played by Christopher Lloyd.
Oh yeah. I saw that in the trailer. I noticed
he's
that.
Like lives at like a fucking old folks home, and like his dad will like visit him and like eat dinner with him and shit like that. And then like later in the movie, these fucking mobsters go to like look for him, like to get to him, like into his dad. And his dad is just like has like a fucking sawed off underneath the blanket in his like chair. Just fucking just blasting. It has a ending very reminiscent of The Equalizer, where they're like in a department store just fucking setting off traps and shit like that.
Mm.
Remember the first Equalizer with Denzel? Yeah. Like how he's just like setting traps off and shit.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool though. I'm surprised at how well he could choreograph a fight for his age. And I've never seen him do really kind of any action roles.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in Breaking Bad.
He's pulling
out.
Episode of Seinfeld before he really got popular. He plays Elaine's boyfriend who, there's an episode where he's like this, he's this medical student and she's like, so you're a doctor, right? And he's like, well, I'm in medical school. And he's like failed his like doctor's test like 3 times. He's like, I almost passed the last one. She's like, but you are a doctor, right? And he's like, well, and she's like, well, can I introduce you as doctor? And he's like, yeah, sure. So she's fucking, she keeps introducing him as doctor, and then she runs, and then one day they run into this, like, old friend of hers that she fucking hates, Sue Ellen Mishke. She's the heiress to the O. Henry candy bar fortune. And she's, like, with her boyfriend. It's like, this is Rick. He does Giuliani's gums. He's a periodontist. And Elaine's like, oh, this is, you know, Peter, whatever. And he's like, he's a doctor. He's a very good doctor. And then just as she says that, a fucking, like, somebody that works at the restaurant they're in fucking passes out onto the... collapses onto the floor. It's like, and they're like, Rodrigo just passed out. Is anyone here a doctor? And the Sue Ellen girl's like, there's a doctor right here. And he's like, no, there isn't. There isn't a doctor. She's like, can't you at least tell him what to do? And the Sue Ellen lady's like, she's like, shouldn't he elevate his legs? And he just goes, he's still sitting down with like a fork in his hand, eating food. He's like, right, elevate your legs.
Just eating food, like but
in that episode, like at the way it, like it ends, it's the same episode where George stops having sex, so he becomes like really smart, and then Elaine stops having sex with Bob Odenkirk's character, so that the same effect will happen to him, so he can become a doctor, and he does, but what happens is it makes Elaine stupid. And because sex for her, Jerry like explains, like sex for women is different. For men, it's like taking out the garbage, and I don't know what the analogy is, but for her, it just makes her dumber. So he's breaking up with her, and he's like, Elaine, part of the dream of becoming a doctor is dumping the girl you're with, and hooking up with someone better. And she's just like, so are we gonna have sex or not? She's just like completely dumb by the end of the episode.
Just so
yeah.
Dude, that was one of the few that was really attracted to Julia Marie Dreyfus.
Julia Marie Dreyfus. Oh yeah.
That was like Elaine's hot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Jerry had a lot of hot girlfriends on Seinfeld. It was kind of noticed. It was like, what's going on here?
Come on, Jerry.
He's just like, hey, you want to, maybe come do the show? Maybe you spend the weekend
I'm
together.
I'm Jerry Seinfeld.
Why don't you come to my show?
It'll be fun.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? my bar is very high.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so many great. My favorite Seinfeld moment of all time is when Jerry comes down to Florida to stay with his parents for the weekend, and before he's going out, Kramer tells him, he's like, "Hey Jerry, listen, I got a guy that's gonna drop off some Cubans for me at your parents' place, so you can bring him back with you." And he's like, "Kramer, what the? I don't want to do that." It's like, "Come on, it's just a little shipment of cigars. They're Cuban." He's like, "Oh, all right." So Jerry goes down to his parents, and it's like just early evening or whatever. His parents are like going to, or no, it's late at night. So his parents are in bed, and then he hears hears a knock on the door, opens it up, and like three Cuban guys walk in, and he's like, "Oh, you must be Kramer's guys. So, where are the Cubans?" And he says, "Where are the cigars?" He's like, "What cigars?" He's like, "Kramer said you guys had some Cubans I was supposed to take back up there to him." And the guy goes, "We are the Cubans." And then it just smash cuts to Kramer like cooking in Jerry's kitchen, and Jerry calls him, and it's right when he picks up, he's like, "They're real Cubans, they're human beings from Cuba." And he's like, "Jerry, what'd you think I'm in? Cigars?" He's like, "Jerry, Cuban cigars are illegal in this country." And then Jerry's dad like walks through the living room to get something he's got from bed, and Jerry's like, "Hey dad," and he's like, "Hey, like, who are these guys?" And all the Cubans are all sleeping in the living room like blankets. And he's like, "They're Cuban cigar rollers." And his dad like goes back into bed. He's like, "Don't tell your mother." That's like my all-time favorite scene.
They're real Cubans.
They're real Cubans. They're human beings from Cuba. Just that he didn't fucking think to mention that they're actual
what
people.
What did you think of it, Jerry?
Cigar. Jesus Christ.
We are the Cubans.
And yeah, that episode ends with them hijacking a plane into Cuba. To Cuba, and they're all wearing the three Cuban guys are wearing a t-shirt that says "World's Greatest Dad" on it, and because of being exploited by upscale crepe restaurants, they're hijacking this plane to Cuba. That episode goes from Jerry staying with his parents in Florida to three Cuban guys wearing a t-shirt that says "Number One Dad" on it, that feel that they were exploited by American crepe breakfast crepe restaurants, so that they are now hijacking a plane to Cuba to for a ransom. That is the trajectory that episode takes.
This is where we end. Yeah, because in the meeting they were like, "So what do we do with the Cubans?"
Yeah.
What if they hijack a plane to Cuba? What?
Yeah, it's the way they had the stories thread together like that. It's there's actually like when I was taking like creative writing courses and stuff, there's like like writers reference books and stuff. So many of them reference Seinfeld particularly for handling making multiple plots of stories like thread like weave in and out of each other, because they could fuck it for it was just in 22 minutes they could just make that fucking episode. It could have the way they did it is Larry David and Seinfeld. Larry David was pretty much the genius behind it with the support of Seinfeld, but they'd have each episode they would try to have an A, B, and C story, and then they would all kind of they would all kind of happen. They would kick off at the same time or be kind of surrounding the same characters, and then they like spread out like this. They go, each story goes into an insane trajectory, like just totally unrelated, and then the idea was that they would pull it back together, and it would come, and those stories would meet a singularity again for the climax of the episode. So every episode of Seinfeld you watch, just try to see those plots. Like it's like they're giving themselves a challenge. Like how far away can we make these stories go from each other, and what can we do to just bring them all back?
Yeah,
bring them all back to each other. Or how many? It was that, and like the big thing was like all the in between moments that shouldn't be on TV shows. Like the characters are just standing in line. Or just waiting for shit to happen.
On the subway.
Yeah, yeah. like there's one scene in it where George is trying to play something on a tape from these people he was spying on in a meeting at his work, because he's a paranoid psycho. But he has to rewind it, and him and Jerry are about to listen to it. So as he's rewinding it, you just hear the tape going, and they just kind of stand there and like... They just kind of, like, each look around, like... They just awkwardly look at each other. Just
be in the moment.
Just be in the moment of just, like, you're just waiting for something to happen. And it films it for, like, 20 seconds. And then he's like, oh, okay, here we go.
The audience is here with us.
Yeah, they just make you sit through that the whole time. Yeah.
Broke a lot of rules on TV.
Another good one is when Jerry gets a cleaning service. He has a maid come by, but then he starts sleeping with her. And Elaine's like, Jerry, you are paying a woman to come to your apartment and sleep with you. He's like, no, I pay her to clean. That rest of it is just like, what, a health plan? But that episode... Okay, so the way that episode starts is that Jerry's maid becomes his girlfriend, and it ends with Jerry being hustled by a pimp from a company called Made to Order. Which is a pun, and he confronts Seinfeld. He's like, "One of my girls, you said she had a little problem with you. You didn't pay." And Jerry's like, listen, she didn't do everything she was supposed to do. And he's like, man, I heard about you. You're a little sicky. Little dusting on top of the blinds, getting in between the edges of the cabinets. I know. And Jerry's like, hey, keep it down. I got to live around here. It also ends with Kramer being like picked up by that pimp. Like that's the final scene. It's like the pimp rolls up and he's like, you look a little lost. And he's like, yeah, someone's supposed to pick me up. And he's like, you want to make some money? Do you know how to use a mop wringer? He's like, yeah. He's like, why don't you get in the car?
Fucking Kramer. The idea of you order a maid to order and Kramer shows up.
Yeah.
You know how to use a mop wringer? Yeah. Why don't you get in the car?
Yeah, that whole episode, there's this like obsession with puns throughout that whole episode. Some episodes do that. There's just this running motif throughout. Yeah.
All right, my dude, we're at 1:05.
Damn. Well, this is Screen Smatter 8.
Yeah,
I gotta see how much time we have saved up on our hosting site, because it's been a couple of weeks. I think we may have like 12 hours of like recording time saved up. I think that's how it works. If it doesn't, I'm gonna be really pissed,
because there's no rollover
because I just threw away 6 hours. So right now the Screen Smatter exposure is pretty high. Market wise, or fiscally wise, we put a lot in and not reaching the bottom line.
Is there like an email we got where any crazy people that might be listening to this could like email like suggestions, I guess.
Well, we could, like, I mean, there's Discord. And then there, what's that? What's the
do
other
one?
Do
we just have, like, a screen spread or Gmail?
Yeah, we do. So if you want to message us, you can send suggestions to screen smatter at Gmail. And
I was like, I wanted to make sure. I was pretty sure that's what it was.
Let me double check. Yeah, screen screensmatter at Gmail. So all one word, but yeah. We'll see what it's probably gonna be. You know what? It's probably gonna be like maybe like hate mail, or
I could deal with that.
I'm guessing like some insane accusation or some shit that somebody's gonna try to like scare us off.
You're the daddy to my baby. Like, oh no.
Yeah. What's the other thing besides Discord? There's one that's just like it.
LinkedIn.
Yeah. I hate LinkedIn so much.
I don't think I ever made one.
I hate it so much. It's just like it's just business Facebook. You know what it is? It's like stupid affirmations and shit that you see.
Hang in there.
Yeah, you could do it like it's affirmations but business but under a guise of business. It's just like people just fucking. Just saying fucking, you know, like that brainwashing, like, business motivational speech bullshit.
Synergy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Shit like that.
You must have synergy.
And I remember...
Synergize.
Yeah. For people on LinkedIn, they love to use the word axiom or axiomatic. And I have never seen somebody use, on LinkedIn, I have never seen someone use the word axiom correctly. Because for some reason, the past few years, that word has become popular. It's used in a lot of things that don't make sense, and all it is a statement that is generally agreed upon to be true. And I see so many people on LinkedIn because some business fucking multi-level marketing like seminar bullshit fuckers like use the word axiom.
There's a game somewhere. Called Axiom Verge.
Oh yeah, I've heard. Yeah. Does it have anything to do with, like, finding truth or language? I'm not seeing how they... No. Maybe they... Shit, maybe Axiom Verge started
maybe
it.
Maybe, like, in a very abstract sense. Of the abstractest form.
I hate LinkedIn so much, though. And it's so... It's, like, slippery when you scroll through it. But... Yeah, but screensmatter at Gmail, I guess eventually we'll have Discord.
Yep, screensmatter at Gmail, fuck LinkedIn. Thanks, guys.